Turn, if you would, to Proverbs chapter 4. And as you are finding your place there, I'm going to remind you of what we looked at this morning in the book of Ephesians. We read there in chapter 6, 1 through 4, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." Now, I'll be addressing parents. I know we're at different stages of life, but as you hear me do that in the sermon, I just want you to think, well, this is what the Bible addresses, so I need to be praying. Even if I'm not currently a parent of a child in the home, I need to be praying for parents of our children. So this is a chance for us as a church to pray along the lines of Proverbs chapter 4. I want you to think of children tonight as an arrow, okay? And I want you to think of the target, which we'll say is on the back wall. Careful, Vince. But we'll say that the target is on the back wall. And if I am a parent trying to get this to go toward the glory of God, toward Christlikeness, the target on the back wall, I need help, okay? With my strength, I don't even think I could get it there. I certainly couldn't get it there straight. And so I want you to think that there is help. There is the word of God. There is salvation. And we'll picture that by the bow. Now, I'm not actually putting it in there, Vince, so don't get excited. But you know, the bow would allow us, and Jordan, I know I'm not doing it right. Don't worry about that. But anyway, the bow would allow us the strength. So think of the bow as the grace of God. We could not do our task of pointing our children and helping them toward the glory of God without the grace of God. But putting the arrow in the bow, drawing the string back, well, that's part of what parents do. They pray for that. They pray that the child would want to have a heart for the glory of God, would come to Christ in salvation and direct their lives personally toward that. God, of course, puts an emphasis on parents' role and especially on the father's role. We saw that in Ephesians 6:4. And that is because, dads, you are the spiritual leader of the home. You are acknowledged as that in Scripture. And Proverbs 4 is a summary of the instruction Solomon gave to his sons. Now, the whole book of Proverbs is instruction that Solomon gives, much of it aimed at sons. But this chapter particularly, I think, summarizes it. And it's, as I said, of special interest to family, but it ought to be of special interest to church family as well. I've divided it into three sections, and it really doesn't do the entire chapter justice, but we're going to go with those three. You can see them in the outline. The instruction of a father, first of all, to give direction. And that is where we aim the arrow, okay? We are putting it toward Christ, toward the glory of God. Look at verse 1. "Hear, O sons, the instruction of a father, and give attention that you may gain understanding. For I give you sound teaching." Parents, that's our task. "I give you sound teaching. Do not abandon my instruction." The word sound means it's based on truth, the word of God. And it's going to lead your children to please God. And children should hear this sound teaching from their parents' mouths, particularly here, of course, Solomon as a father. So we say, particularly to dads, they need to hear it from you. For example, you need to teach your children what God says about lying. You need to teach your children what God says about talking back. You need to teach your children about what God says about evolution, creation, about behavior on a date, about who is a proper person to consider marrying, etc. You aim the arrow. Verse 3, when I was a son to my father, so Solomon thinking back, tender and the only son in the sight of my mother, then he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast my words, keep my commandments and live. So we see a little bit of David's teaching of Solomon here. But the point I want to make in verses 3 and 4 is teach them when they're most teachable. Notice the word tender in verse 3. When they're teachable, when they are looking up to you, their younger ages, begin then. Look for and pray for them then to have their own personal convictions. Look at verse 4. Let your heart hold fast my words. As they transition out of childhood into youth and young adulthood, we would pray that they would have personal convictions as we point them to Jesus. See, arrows have fins. This one, you would call it fins. Sometimes you see them with feathers. But without those, they would just go all over the place. This is what keeps an arrow going straight. And so the analogy there would be to develop that type of help in your children. Show them and lead them in how to obtain God's wisdom on their own so that they will keep going straight on their own. Look at verse 5. Acquire wisdom. Acquire understanding. So Solomon exhorting his sons, acquire this on your own. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth, but acquire. Encourage them to love wisdom. Verse 6, do not forsake her, and she will guard you. Love her, and she will watch over you. Encourage them to show them how to acquire wisdom. Verse 7, the beginning of wisdom is acquire wisdom. Now, there's another place where it says the beginning of wisdom is what, class? The fear of the Lord, right. So just notice that with the fear of the Lord, we continue, because of that, we would want to continue to know him. So the beginning of wisdom is acquire wisdom, and with all your acquiring, get understanding. So there's some individual hunger that we would be praying for that would keep fins in place to keep that arrow going straight through the air toward the target. Encourage them to value wisdom. Verse 8, prize her and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. You encourage them to trust then the blessings of God more than any other desire in life that they might have because of the flesh. Notice verse 9, she will place on your head. So wisdom is placing, really meaning the following of wisdom, the pursuit of Christ, we would say, as New Testament believers, will end in, on your head, a garland of grace. She will present you with a crown of beauty. We're talking about here eternal things, eternal rewards, rather than temporary pleasures in life. Now, an arrow will never reach the target if there's something obstructing it. So let's say, Jim, you're probably the tallest man in the center section. Maybe you are. No, Tom is. So Tom and Jim stand up, and they become obstacles to this arrow. And let's just call them for the sake of it. They become obstacles to this arrow getting to its target. So we have to teach our children discernment. Best we can, we take away things like that, bad influences. You're not really, I know, but for the sake of the illustration, you are. We move them to the side for our children, but our children have to learn to avoid them. The arrow itself has to avoid things that are in the path, and so we teach discernment in a world full of potential obstructions and temptations, verses 10 through 19. We teach them, first of all, by example, hear my son and accept my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I have directed you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in upright paths. Not just talking about it, but following. Now, we know Solomon erred in that. But as he's writing this chapter, he is saying, I have led you in upright paths. When you walk, your steps will not, notice, be impeded. In other words, if you follow what I have taught you, you will not have the obstacles in the way of the target. And if you run, you will not stumble. So parents, we need to ask ourselves, are we safe to follow? In honesty, in purity, in reverence for God, in our language, in entertainment that we allow, the friends we have, and so on. The same decisions that your child and youth and young adult are making, what decisions are you making with regard to that as an adult? Because the clear path is something you should be demonstrating, that you have put obstructions and temptations to the side. Another part of this, getting rid of potential obstacles, is giving clear warnings. So your example, but also your warnings, because you won't always be with them. They won't always see your example. So verse 13, take hold of instruction. Do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not proceed in the way of evil men. Who are the wicked? Well, they are people who are willing to disobey. They are those who do not respect biblical convictions. Sometimes they can be people you like, but because they have different convictions, they can lead you astray. You need to know how to avoid those situations as children. And I can think back to times when those were in my path growing up. So verse 15, avoid it. Do not pass by it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they cannot sleep unless they do evil. And they are robbed of sleep unless they make someone stumble. They want company in what they're doing. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. Avoid such is the point. And then fathers, communicate the blessing of righteousness. This theme has come up again here in verses 18 and 19. The path of the righteous is like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the full day. The way of the wicked, verse 19, is like darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. So show to your children the joy of obedience, the blessing of seeking to please God. Let them see that in your life, how it gives you joy and purpose. Also, help them to continue to see how such a life helps us to grow in our knowledge of ourselves and of our sin. I think that's a part of the light of dawn shining brighter and brighter. We see the glory of Christ. We see the will of God more. And then when we grow in that light as fathers, as parents, as children, we see ourselves more and we see our sin more. And that's a part of growing to maturity. So teach discernment. Discernment of what's out there that could be a problem for me, and discernment of what is obedience to God, discernment in the Word of God, that I might be learning more and more about that, the light becoming brighter and brighter, and me being able to see and recognize darkness, being more and more skilled at that. Will you give the arrow direction? You clear its path. But human arrows have errors. We all do. We have sin natures. And if this arrow was curved in any way, then it would have an error that could not be overcome in its flight. Well, you might think, well, how are we going to overcome the sin nature? Well, as New Testament believers, we know the necessity of repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the necessity of salvation, that the Holy Spirit would be indwelling us, and his work of conviction, his work of giving strength to do the right thing, his work of motivating us toward Christ-likeness and strength to walk that path is what we know we need as Christian parents, and it's what we know our children need. Because I tell you, the defects don't disappear. We grow out of some sin, but we continue to realize that our sin nature is with us. And so we encourage parents' personal discipline among our children. I mean, you know, you and I know how the flesh can be tempted. So don't be naive and think that children aren't facing the temptations that you faced and that you currently face. They do. And so arrows need help, because every human arrow, every child is with sin nature. There's that defect. But in Christ, there is hope for victory. Personal discipline means personally valuing wisdom. Look at verse 20. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart. The heart is a key theme in all of Scripture, but in the book of Proverbs and in this chapter, a key theme. For they, my words, my sayings, they are life to those who find them and health to all their body. You want your children to value wisdom, to see the benefit of wisdom. That will help them to be personally motivated, to be disciplined, to keep their life toward the Lord. So they must be personally guarding their heart. Verse 23, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. What a verse. And then Solomon gives examples of that, how the heart, how life flows from the heart. The mouth is connected to the heart. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put devious speech from you. Well, you might ask, well, how do we put away sin? I think one of the keys there is to see sin as God sees it. So with regard to the mouth, a verse like this, I know, has had great impact on my life if I'm ever tempted to shade the truth or tell a lie. Lying lips, Proverbs 12:22, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. I mean, when you say it like that, well, white lies come under that condemnation, don't they? Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal faithfully are his delight. So in guarding the heart, I want my words to be honest words. I want that as I guard the heart, as I saturate the heart with the Word of God. And then, of course, it's not simply seeing what the Word of God says, because we know God, the Holy Spirit, is using that to shape us. And so there is an abiding that must be taking place, not just hearing the laws of God, but abiding in Christ for strength. So verse 25, let your eyes look directly ahead. Let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. Watch the path of your feet, and all your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Turn your foot from evil. And so as I live my life, I'm looking toward Christ, straight ahead, not looking to what's going on over here that is a tangent to the will of God, not the will of God, not looking over here, which is where there's one of those obstacles that I need to avoid. No, my heart is instructing my mouth, because my heart is in the Word of God, and Christ, the Holy Spirit, is helping me in the Word of God. My eyes want to look at what is good. Notice my feet, verse 26, they want to go in the path of what is right. I know we're defective, though, and I know it doesn't always go that way. But this is the path that is laid out to Solomon's sons. And one of the things I would say from verses 26 and 27, if you read those, if you share those with your children, watch the path of your feet, and all your paths, all your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right nor to the left. Turn your foot from evil. There's discipline there. There's decision-making there. And there's a sense in which this statement is true, even though I know we're not going to be perfect in this life. But there is no reason that anything under your control, your decisions, where you go, things like what the feet do, what the eyes look at, there's no reason that anything under your control should be a temptation to you, because we're instructed not to look. We're instructed not to go. I realize we're not going to be perfect in that, but when we look at this and we know the help that we have, we know the help we have from good counsel, children if you're here, from your parents, we know the help that we have, believers, from the Holy Spirit. We know that when sin comes into our life, often it's because we've chosen to allow it. So that's my point. There's no reason for anything under our control to be a temptation to us. Teach that to your children. Direction toward that target on the back wall. Discernment. Well, the arrow needs to be equipped to fly straight. Teach your children how to keep taking in the Word of God. And then, of course, discipline, to watch over their heart, to be abiding in Christ, personally taking in the Word of God, but not just as information, as fellowship with the Lord, as strength for the task of bringing glory to God. Any thoughts or questions? You didn't expect me to ask that, but I asked. I knew that's about how much time I would have. That worked out well. Well, the Lord bless you in this. I want us to end with prayer for our families, for our children, to ask God to bless the discipleship of the next generation and generations. Oh, Father, in the world in which we live, no matter where we would live in the world, we need and our children need direction. We pray that we would be a church pointing them to Christ. And that, Father, by your grace, children would come to Christ. And children would grow up being discipled, receiving in this church setting, by your grace, sanctification year after year, that they might grow in discernment, in discipline, through their parents' input, along with the church's input. That, Father, you would be glorified in the next generation. That in 20 years, when many of us are no longer on a nominating committee report, that there will be children in those positions, some that we know now, some that will come in that 20 years. And that this church, if Christ has not returned, will by your grace continue to be reaching out, doing the work of your commission. We pray for that. We pray for the current families of our church, that they not be discouraged. And we pray for any children who are erring, that, Father, we could come alongside parents, and that by your grace, those situations, those prayers going up, would be answered by you, and that you would direct children's life by your grace to Christ. They might bring glory to you. We pray for that in Jesus' name. Amen.